Well, a pleasant morning to each of you. Delighted to have this goodly number out on this Lord's Day morning so we can study the divine revelation, sing songs of praise, partake of the Lord's Supper, give of our means, and do those things that glorify the God of heaven. Tonight we'll be talking about Thanksgiving, but this morning I kind of wanted to conclude something that we begin to study. A few Lord's Day mornings ago, we talked about the marvels of heaven, and we identified some of the things that the Lord revealed about heaven. And then last Lord's Day morning, we talked about the horrors of hell. And we talked about how horrific that place would be to be separated from God for all eternity. But this morning in our study, I want us to look at Jesus and to see what Jesus did so that we would not have to go to that place called hell, and so that we could go to that place identified as heaven. And what I want us to do is to look at the cross. And when we look at the cross, I want us to examine some things, and then we'll come back and make some more points and make application in the lesson series. When you look at the cross of Calvary, as was read just a moment ago in the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, you'll find some things that really stand out. And what I want us to do is to look at some things that Jesus endured while he was on the cross. The first thing I want to put into our heart comes from the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter, notice the fact that Jesus suffered the agony of torture. Think about the agony of suffering he endured while he was on the cross. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs," in verse 4, "carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want you to think about what Jesus endured physically while he was on the cross. You remember that even before he got to the cross, he had spent the night in the garden praying, and the Bible said that his sweat became his blood. And I've often thought that there is Jesus in great agony, and the Bible said he was in agony even to the point of death while he was in the garden. And an angel came and strengthened him. Then you'll remember that Pilate and the Sanhedrin before Pilate had beaten him, and Pilate's soldiers had beaten him. And they had scourged him, and they put the crown of thorns upon his head and nailed him to that cross. Sometimes I'm fearful that we allow that story to grow old, my friend. But I'll tell you, every time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it should touch your heart. Because you see the agony of suffering that Jesus endured. And every time you look at that, you remember that God allowed it to happen. He allowed his son to endure much physical suffering. And I would that I had the ability this morning to put into the hearts of men and women the agony that Jesus suffered while upon the cross of Calvary. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think of something else that Jesus suffered. And it's important that we keep all this in our mind. Take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the 12th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 12th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 1 and 2. And notice, look at verse 2 to save some time. Look at the statement made by the Hebrew writer. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Have you ever thought of the shame Jesus had to endure? That when they put him on that cross, they put him up there as a spectacle, put him up there to an open shame, that everyone could behold him and look upon him. And there Jesus was, stared upon, mocked and belittled, ridiculed on every hand. And think of the shame he had to endure, though he had not violated one law of God. Though he had kept the law perfectly, fulfilled the law, done everything the law had said, man put him up on that cross, and man put him to an open shame. I've often thought about what it would have been like to have been there and to look up at the cross and see the Savior hanging there, being put to an open shame, with his mother and loved ones there, mocking him and belittling him. But then if you have your Bible, I want you to think about a third picture. Not only do we see the agony of suffering and the agony of shame, but look in your Bible in the book of John and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, notice, if you will, something else that Jesus endured in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now you think about the dehydration that had set in. Jesus had gone all night sweating, all sweating as drops of blood. Now he'd been up on that cross and had lost a lot of blood. And no doubt he is thirsty. I've been with people as they're about to pass, and one of the last things sometimes they ask for is just a drop of water. All they want is something to keep that parched tongue cool. And here is Jesus asking for something to drink. Have you ever thought about the thirst? And notice what they bring him. They don't bring him water. They try to bring him sour wine. And notice, my friend, they mock him even when he is thirsty. They belittle him and they do not give him what he desired. And notice that when Jesus touched it, he saw what it was. He did not drink it. I've often thought about when he received it, he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is done." But I want you to think about something else. Not only did Jesus suffer the agony of being tortured on the cross, and not only the shame and the thirst, but go back to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter that our brother read just a moment ago. And look at what it says in verse 45. He suffered in darkness. Now from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, there was darkness over all the land. You know what surprises me about that? In John 9, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But at that time, the light had gone out because the wickedness of man. And darkness came upon the land. And no doubt the God of heaven blotted out the sun. And for 3 hours over the land, there's nothing but darkness. And there is the light of the world suffering in darkness. There is the one who lived a perfect life, who came to bring light, who said he is the light, and yet he is in darkness, suffering alone. Sometimes I wonder if I've ever touched the hem of the garment to what it would have been like to have been hanging on that cross and darkness surrounding the land. And I've often thought about, there's the Son of God. He is suffering. He is going through physical pain. He's thirsty. He's ashamed. And then all of a sudden, there comes darkness over the land. But then I want you to think about something else. When you look at Calvary, have you ever thought about, my friend, the agony of concern that Jesus had? Look in your Bible in the Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter, notice that Jesus in verse 34 looks down and says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Have you ever thought about he's concerned about those people? He wants them to be able to know that they can be forgiven. And he cries out to his Father, they do not know what they're doing. He's concerned about the souls of the very ones who's put him on the cross. You ever thought of that? Here is someone who's mocked him, spit in his face, ridiculed him, beat him, and Jesus is concerned about their soul. Even while he's hanging there, he is pleading for them. And in Acts 2, we remember 3,000 repented and were baptized when Peter said, "You crucified the Holy One of Israel." They repented. They were baptized upon their faith in Jesus Christ. But then if you take your Bible, go to the book of John in the 19th chapter. And look at the concern he had for his mother. Notice in your Bible in verse 25, it said, "There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Even on the cross, Jesus was concerned about his mother. Jesus looked down, and though he's suffering more than words can describe, though he's bearing the sin of man, though he is dealing with so much at that time, he looks down at his mother with love, and he looks at John, and he said, John, you take care of her. You ever thought of the concern he had? You ever thought of the agony of looking down and seeing your mother watch you die as he was dying, and he's concerned about her? Oh, the agony Jesus suffered. Oh, the pain he endured. And he was concerned about his mother. Oh, I would I could put that into my mind and your mind like I should. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to examine something else. Look, if you will, in the back in the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter again. And notice with me what Jesus said. In Matthew 27, Jesus cried out, as the Bible said, in verse 46, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I recognize this morning many people take different views on that, but I want to tell you one thing. In some way, I believe Jesus was forsaken. At least he was left on the cross to die. Now, some of my brethren may disagree with that, but I want to tell you, every other time Jesus prayed, the Father answered. But when he prayed in the garden, the Father said no. And many say, well, he's just referring to Psalm 22. He might be, but I want to tell you something. Jesus made seven statements on the cross. I don't believe six were literal and one's figurative. I believe at that time, he felt that there was a separation. I believe that he knew that he would die. And the rescue came in the resurrection. The Father didn't bring him down from the cross. Now, I may not argue for more, but I won't accept any less than to know that much. And I know some of my brethren disagree with me, but I'll tell you one thing, my friend. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And when he cried that out, he said, my God has forsaken me. And notice, that's the only time he doesn't say, Father. He said, my God. There, Jesus, at that moment, did not receive the Father coming and helping him. Jesus, at that moment, was alone. The Father did not answer his plea. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else. In your Bible, go back and notice that Jesus not only had to suffer darkness, not only did he have to suffer shame and the physical torture and the thirst and the agony of concern and separation, but look, if you will, in Luke 23, something else Jesus had to suffer. In Luke 23, Jesus is going to the cross, and notice what is happening with the people around him. The Bible says that in Luke 23 that the people were weeping. Look, if you will, at verse 25. Verse 27. I'll get it in a minute. A great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. Can you imagine Jesus as he looked upon his disciples as they're weeping? And he says, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. He's going to talk about what's going to happen to Jerusalem. But I want to tell you, my friend, no doubt that touched the heart of Jesus to see his disciples weeping. Now then, I want you to take that and I want you to think about that compared to hell. Everything Jesus suffered on the cross is a description of what someone will suffer in eternal hell. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, notice, if you will, that you have the rich man who is lost in eternal torment. And notice what the Bible says about him in verse 23. And being in torments, notice that's plural, torments, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I realize some will say this is a parable. You call it what you want. It's spiritual truth. And notice, this man is suffering. He's going through agony. He's in torments. And notice, he cries out, I'm tormented, in verse 24, in this flame. Here is one who is going through agony, suffering. And one thing I want you to understand is he will suffer forever in that place. And that rich man is begging for just a drop of water. there he is tormented in that flame. Every time I look at Calvary and I see Jesus suffering agony, I remember he did that so I don't have to suffer eternal agony. But then if you take your Bible, think of the shame that man had to endure. Here he was, a rich man. And notice, my friend, now he is begging. Remember, when he was on earth and Lazarus was on earth, Lazarus begged and the rich man ignored him. But look in verse 27. He said, I beg you therefore, Father. Now he's the one doing the begging. Notice this man's role has been reversed. Now that he's in hell, now that he's lost everything that he had on earth, now that he's separated from God, he is doing begging. And it's too late. You ever thought of the shame of a man who one time may have been prideful and now he's brought down to beg? But then if you take your Bible, look at something else. Look in verse 24, for that I thirst. He said, Father, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Isn't that what Jesus asked for on the cross? And now isn't this what this man is doing in hell? Just a drop of water, Lord. Just something to give me a little bit of comfort. And my friend, he didn't even get a drop of water. You ever looked at Calvary and see what Jesus endured to keep us from going to this place? Everything Jesus endured on Calvary is what someone will endure in eternity if they go to hell. But then if you take your Bible, look at something else. In verses 27 and 28, he's concerned. Just as Jesus was concerned about his mother, notice he's concerned about his brothers. He said in verse 27, I beg you therefore, Father, you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He is now concerned about his brothers. And may I say to you, my friend, he did not want them in hell. I've had some people say, preacher, I'll never be baptized because that would condemn my parents. I want you to understand something, my friend. First of all, you don't have the power to condemn your parents. I don't have the power to condemn your parents. All judgment's left to God. Second of all, if a loved one's in hell, they don't want you there. This rich man said, go tell my brothers. And notice that at this time that Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. We have something greater than Moses and the prophets. We have the Word of God. We have the words of Christ. And tonight, or this morning, my friend, when we proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to see what he endured to save us from eternal torment. And to think about being forsaken. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment and the first chapter. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians and the first chapter, look at what he said in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished, now watch it, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You want to know what hell is, my friend? That is separation from God for all eternity. To be away from His glory, to be away from His power, to not able to reach Him in prayer, to be separated from Him. And I would that I could get people to see Jesus was willing to endure these things to keep us from that place. Calvary is a picture of hell. But then think of something else. Take your Bible and think about in Matthew chapter 8, two things we find in Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 8, look if you will at verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Underscore darkness. You want to know why hell is all dark? The light's not there. Who's the light? Jesus is. You know when it talks about heaven, it said there will be no need of sun nor moon because the glory of the sun will illuminate the heaven. But in hell, there's no light because there's no love and there's no life. It's eternal death. It's eternal destruction. It's separation from the one who is love, light, and light. It is eternal separation from God. And I'll tell you something. You think about being in darkness for all eternity. You ever thought about darkness? You ever thought about what it's like to be in the dark all the time? And then look at what else he said in Matthew 8. Not only does he say there'll be darkness, he said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at that word weeping. Eternal tears. Because you're not with the God. Now that compared to Revelation 21:4, where he said God will wipe away every tear from their eye and there'll be no more crying. But in hell, there will be eternal tears. You ever thought about what Jesus endured to save you from that place? Have you ever got a picture of Calvary and seen what Jesus was willing to go through so you would not be in eternal hell? Do you see the sacrifice, the one who bore our sins, the one who's the Lamb of God, the one who became a curse, as Galatians 3:13 says, so that we can be redeemed? Do you get a picture of what Jesus did for you? Now then, I want you to think of two things in the lesson's yours. Jesus paid it all. Open your Bible to John chapter 6. And when you come to the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, notice that Jesus is talking at this time. And he says in verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You know what you need to do this morning? If you've never put on Christ, I can't think of a better time than today than to put on Jesus so your sins can be blotted out and you can follow the one who loved you enough to save you from hell, who went through all the torture that hell would have so you could be saved from it. I'll tell you what that is. That's love. And I want to know, how can you reject that kind of love? How is it that we can go through life and just pretend that we love God on Sunday but do everything else Monday through Saturday? I'll tell you, we need to every day get a picture of the cross and remember what Jesus did to save us from hell so that we could be with Him in heaven. You ever thought of that sacrifice? Oh, I know I don't have the ability to preach it like I would. Oh, I wish I had the ability to put into the hearts of men and women this morning just how much God loves you. And if I could get you to see that, you wouldn't quibble about baptism. You wouldn't quibble about any command. You'd say, "Lord, you speak and I'll obey because I see your love for me. And I love you back." Question. If the Lord came, are you ready or would you be cast out? Because I want to tell you something. There's no second chances in hell. God's given us the opportunity now to obey. And if you need to obey, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.